Lord. Amen. The one good thing about Saul, when the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus, when the Lord revealed himself unto him, and Paul realized that he had been in error, he said, Lord, what would I have? What would you have me to do? Tonight is our desire above all, Lord. Maybe sometimes we're right, and sometimes we're wrong. Amen. But Lord, what will you have us to do? Yes. Amen. Sometimes I'm right. Anybody have that testimony? And sometimes I'm wrong. But he still loves me just the same. Amen. And in my right and in my wrong, I just say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? You know, that takes a very submissive spirit. When you ask God, what will you have me to do? Amen. You don't have no stipulations. Amen. But we just say yes to the Lord and yes to his will. Now on Sunday, we went over, set your house. Amen. And actually I was going to change up, but the Lord brought me back that way tonight. Amen. Because our greatest concern is not what other people think about us. Or what anyone else thinks. The greatest desire is what does God think about you. Amen. So we're going to ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 38. And as we stand for the reading of the scripture, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 of Isaiah chapter 38. Amen. Our greatest desire tonight above everything is, Lord, I want to be saved. Amen. I want to be saved. Amen. The only thing, when God judges us, he won't judge us based on our bank account. God won't judge our status in life. The only thing that he would do is judge us based on our soul. Amen. So we're going to stay on the soul because the most important thing is that we want to be saved. And the psalmist, Psalm loved best. He said, Lord, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? Everything God gives us is benefits. God does nothing to hurt us or destroy us. So he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? He said, I take the cup of salvation and I will call on. And then he said, Dr. Oliver, he said, well, I will pay my vows unto God. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 reads, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember thou, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walk before thee in, I walk before thee how? In truth and with a, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy thank you, and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto thy day 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Amen. May the Lord have blessed to the reader of his word. The congregation said, and the congregation said, the word of the Lord is. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You know, as I said, there's something about studying God's word and making preparations. You know, there's so many different scriptures and so many different ways that we could go. And actually, this was something I didn't really decide on this until we were actually in church. Amen. Because the thing, we know that Isaiah tells Hezekiah, he says, set your house how? In order. That means, at this point, make all your affairs right because you're about to die. Amen. I wonder tonight if God were to tell us that we're about to die. Can we sit in our house? is in order. Amen. And we know that Hezekiah had to have a right spirit. And Hezekiah had something following him up. He didn't just do it on his own. But in verse 3, if we go to verse 3, this is what he said, and this is what, this is our if we were to examine ourselves, if we were to use his testimony, can we, this be also our testimony? And he said what? Remember now. Amen. He didn't say remember in the future, but remember now. Amen. He was telling God, even though I realize that you have executed or exacted judgment on me, he said, remember now, I beseech thee how I have what? Walk. You know what? Hezekiah was saying, Lord, I've done my best. He said, set my house in order. I don't have anything else to set in order because I want you to remember how I walk before thee. How? In what? Truth. Amen. There was no hypocrisy. There was no deceit. There was no guile. There was no hypocrisy. I just was in the truth. Amen. Look at somebody say, you just got to be in the truth. Come on. You just got to be in the truth. There's a whole lot of people walking, but they cannot tell God, remember how I walked before who? Thee. In truth. And what they want? Lord, in my heart, I've done my best. And I've done that which is good in thy sight. Amen. You know what Hezekiah was telling God? He said, I haven't been perfect. I've had my faults and failures. But God, I gave you my best. Amen. And verse 4 says, the Lord honored his prayer. Amen. In our time of desperation, what do? Amen. When it seems like everything is coming against us, the Bible says Hezekiah turned to the wall and he prayed. And as a king, he was not afraid to weep before God. He said he wept sore. And verse 5 told them, said, go say that. No, verse 4. Did we read? We didn't do 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have. You know, Hezekiah's life had to be in tune with God. Because the Bible says his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Amen. When you're in right standing, God hears your prayer. But God will not hear your prayer if you're not walking in truth. If you're not walking humbly, if you're not walking perfect before him, and if you're not doing that which is what? Good in whose sight? I wanted to, like, when we make our decision, whose sight are we doing things in? Who are we trying to please? Amen. Good in thy sight. He said, I heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Now, God says, because your heart is right, your life is right, you walk, he said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to add 15 years to your life, right? But he was supposed to die, but there was something about his heart that caused God to say, I'm going to add 50. He said, listen, right now, if you're 50, you're going to live to your 65. Amen. But you know what God was saying? He said, listen, you're going to be so right in my eyes, even though I'm going to tell you how many years I'm going to give you, you still are going to do that which is right in my eyes. Now, if we were to insert our names in place of Hezekiah, what would we tell the Lord? And what would the Lord tell us? Would God be able to give us a definitive amount of time that we're going to live? Amen. Or would God say, well, you just keep trying? So it's so important tonight that we're doing what's good and what's right in the eyes. Good and right in the eyes of who? The Lord. And the good thing about God, you know, there are times that we all have some points and some struggles. But God knows that we're nothing more than flesh. God knows that we're going to have struggle. Every warrior, every patriarch in the Bible had shortcomings. But the difference between having a shortcoming and those that were a King Saul is those that had shortcomings acknowledged their wrong before God. King Saul exalts himself above God. So tonight, in being right before God, you have to just say, Lord, I'm wrong. David, after he sinned, and when Nathan the prophet came to him, he didn't justify it. He told Nathan, I've sinned. Amen. So it's so important to be right before God. You have to acknowledge that you are wrong. David said, I acknowledge my sin and my transgression and error before thee. He said, God, I cannot hide it. Amen. So tonight, in doing the right thing, isn't it time to just say, Lord, I turn everything else off. My only concern is, what do you think about me? Amen. I don't care what any person thinks, because only one that has a heaven and a hell to put us in is who? Come on, the only one that has a heaven and a hell to put us in is who? So who are we trying to please tonight? Amen. Now let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. And you know, as I was praying and making preparations today, and then we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 7. The one thing that God says, you know, as leaders, ministers, and preachers and teachers, we cannot make God's people do anything. But it's our responsibility to put it out on the line. It's our responsibility to make known what God expects. Amen. So we're going to read Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 10 through 22. Now, the thing about Ezekiel is, once again, we went over this a couple of weeks ago. Ezekiel was taken to the land of Babylon captive as a prophet. And while he was in Babylon, God gives him a vision. In the first chapter, he shows him the four living creatures with the wheel. That's what he said, wheel in the middle of a wheel. You know, we're singing. So God takes him in the spirit, and he shows him this vision. In chapter 1, chapter 2, it's a progression of the same vision. And then that brings us up to chapter 3. Now he sees the vision of the four living beasts and the wheels, and it's a marvelous vision. Matter of fact, late Bishop G.T. Haywood actually interprets this vision. It's marvelous, the vision, but we're not going to go there. But verse 1 says, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thy finest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. In the latter part of chapter 2, there's a roll, and the roll is symbolic of what? God's word. So he tells him, he said, now, I want you, even though you're in Babylon, even though you're in captivity, I still need a witness. He says, so I want you to eat the roll. He says, so I open my mouth, and he calls me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my word unto them. Now let's run down to verse 10. So he eats the roll, which is God's word. And he said, now all I want you to do is go speak what you read. If you read Jeremiah, in the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, the Lord calls Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, Lord, I can't go, but I'm a child. He said, don't say I'm a child. And the Lord touched Jeremiah and put his word in his mouth. Now Jeremiah, we'll get to it in a little bit. Jeremiah was a unique prophet in the sense that in the whole nation of Judah, the whole nation of Judah, only one man made a stand for God. The whole nation, one person, he was the only one that had the courage to make a stand for God. Now, you know, most of the preachers today, if we were Jeremiah, we would have quit. We would have given up. Amen. Jeremiah had a low. Jeremiah said, you know what, I'm so tired of these hard-headed people. He said, I'm not going to even speak in his name anymore. But it's something we get God's word down on the inside. He said, I'm not going to say anything. But he said, but his word was down in my bone as a burning fire. Shut up. Hallelujah. Even though he was one man in the whole nation, and one day we're going to teach on that. One man in the whole nation, and then when they were taken away captive, God sent the king that had destroyed Jerusalem and Israel. angel, he said, what do you want to do? Because he made a sin. He said, what do you want to do? He said, do you want to go to Egypt? Do you want to stay in Israel? He gave Jeremiah a choice. Why? One man had the courage to stand for. Today is a day if we ever needed people to have some courage to stand for. Listen, the whole nation, how many men? One man. They did everything to destroy Jeremiah, but God was with them. Verse 10 says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, all my words that I speak of, received in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. Now, once again, where are they at? They are in captivity. They're in Babylon. Now, Jeremiah had been preaching to them before they went into Babylon, so now he passes the baton on to Ezekiel to speak the word. They were still stubborn. They were still hard-necked. They were still a stiff-necked people. But God said, leave, you're going to have a challenge with what I speak and what I say unto you, I want you to say unto them. Amen? He said, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people. Where they at? In what? Captivity. And speak unto them and tell them, thus, you know, now they're already in captivity. You think they want to hear from God? But God always has a witness. God always has someone that has a word of God. So even in your captivity, can we say, Lord, speak for thy, for thy servant here. Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will, God said, go speak. He said, now some of them may hear and most of them won't. For that means they're going to turn a deaf ear and they're not going to hear. But your job is not to determine what they do. God said, I just want you to be what? Obedient unto me. Amen. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. Now, God has him in the Spirit. He's not there in captivity. God has taken him away in a vision, in a spirit. Then all of a sudden, he brings him back to Babylon. And I heard also the noise of the wings of the what? Those same living creatures. And from chapter 1 and 2, he hears the noise of those creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. You know, every time God speaks, isn't there something about the rushing? On the day of Pentecost, it was a rushing wind. Right? There's a what? Rushing mighty wind. In John chapter 20, when the Lord spoke to his disciples, he breathed on them as a wind and said, what? Receive the Holy Ghost. And when Elijah came in the presence of the Spirit of God, he came in a rushing mighty wind. God's presence, God's Spirit. God said, when I do it like nobody else can. Can I get an amen? So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was. He said, you know, it's going to be hard, but God's with me. The challenge is great. Who's prophesying? Now, Daniel and the other Hebrew boys are there, but they're not prophesying, but he's prophesying. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, and dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat there, and I sat where they sat, and remained. He said, this vision from God was so mighty. This divine presence of God. He said, now when God took me away, but when he brought me back, I sat there for what? 7 days. Why? Because of the overwhelmingness of God's presence and his spirit. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. He said, you know what? Even though they are stubborn, they're rebellious, they want to, he said, you're still a watchman. You know what the watchman does? The watchman is representative of someone sitting up on a tower. They watch to warn God's people. So he sat there for 7 days. God said, I didn't call you to sit there. I called you to do a job. Amen? Amen. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to one the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his. He said, man, I'm telling you what to warn them and you don't warn them. He's going to die in this iniquity, but then you have an issue. You got a problem. He said, because his blood will I require, because I sent you to warn my people, and you chose not to, and they were dying in sin and in iniquity, and you did not warn them. He said, so if they die wrong, then I'm going to require that act. I wonder if God observes the church globally today and observe the leadership, the ministers, who's warning God's people? How many have shut their mouths to let them die in their iniquity and sin? God said, if you do that, I'm going to require that at your hand. He said, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his. But thou hast my golden desire tonight. I have to deliver my soul. Amen. So I cannot sugarcoat God's word. I cannot pat you on your back when you're wrong. Amen. But we have to put it out there as the word of God. Amen. Because if I don't preach God's word and I let you do what you want to do and you die in your sin, God's going to require that. I can't pay for somebody else. I got enough to pay for my. So I got to warn God's people. Amen? I just got to tell you the truth. If you're not living right, it's time to get right. If you're living in sin, it's time to get right. Amen? Again, it says, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, it means iniquity is living lawlessly, living unrighteously, living contrary to God's word. And I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him your watchman on the wall. Well, the watchman back in Israel in those days and our time, the only way that you knew that the enemy was coming is that the watchman on the wall had to sound the alarm. Amen? So he said, now, the enemy's coming all around, you on the watchman on the wall, but you're not sounding the alarm. And I'm afraid today in America and across this world, there's just so many people that are sugarcoating God's word and won't sound the alarm. Amen. But I will sound the alarm. Amen. Because the most important thing is when we leave tonight that we're saved. Amen. So you got to sound the alarm. Because thou hast not given them one, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require in thy hand. Amen. So it's so important tonight. I'm going to cry. As I said, the most important thing is that we're saved. Who judges whether or not we're saved? God. And the only way that you're saved, you have to do what's good and right in his eyes. Amen. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also thou hast, the Isaiah says, cry aloud and what? Spare not. Tell the house of Jacob, Israel their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Tonight, we should do an introspective look. Amen. We should judge ourselves tonight to make sure that we are saved. Is that verse 22? All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Paul, that's the Old Testament warning. Then Paul does the same thing in Acts chapter 20. We're going to read verses 16 through 27 of Acts chapter 20. Now, the responsibility of leadership is to warn the people against what? Sin. Our job is to lead you away from sin, to warn the people. Then it's up to you to make the final decision. But tonight it's time for us to set our house in order. How we settle our account. We must set our houses in order. Amen. So 20 verse 16 reads, Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. He called for who? Leadership. Amen. God is sending in order. Amen. You got to do things right. So he didn't go to the saints. He went to the leaders. Amen. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in. He said, you know the proof of my life. You know how I walk before you. How? In what season? All seasons. Serving the Lord with what? Humility of mind. We got to do it God's way. Humility of mind. With many tears. With temptations. Which we felt me by the lying and weight of the. He said, now I'm going to Jerusalem even though I know they've been waiting for me. By the lying and weight of the Jews. And how I kept back. Paul said, I didn't keep back anything that was what? Profitable unto you, but have, God said, Paul said, I haven't kept back anything. I've what? Showed you. Tonight the warning is, it's time to set our house in order. It's time, if we're not living right, get right. Amen. So Paul said, you know how, he said, listen, I'm not telling you as a hypocrite, but I'm telling you because of how I have lived. My life has been a witness and a testimony to you. Amen. He said, I've showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What? Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord. If you're wrong, just repent. He said, I've instructed you to repent. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the. You know what Paul is saying? You know what? My life is no longer my own. I've been brought with a price. Amen. God has done everything for me. So Paul is saying, the life that I, there was a time when I was one of the Pharisees and one of the Sanhedrin, he said, I did what I wanted to do. He said, but no longer that. He said, I'm surrendered. Whatever God leads me to do, I'm going to do it, whether it be through life or through death. Amen. The Holy Ghost witnesses in every city saying that what? Bonds and afflictions by me. But, I got some trouble, but, can't stop me from doing what? What's stopping us tonight? What's moving us? He said, but none of these things move me. And not only am I not afraid of the thing that's coming against me, he said, neither can I mind. He said, you know what? I'm sold out for God. So because I'm sold out for God, nothing can stop me. Not even death itself. If I had to give my life, he said, it doesn't matter, amen, because I'm sold out for God, so that I might finish my course with, what kind of course are we on? He said, bonds and affliction, life and death, he said, I still got my joy, because it's with joy that we ought to draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Paul said, no matter what, I'm saved. So I might not have $1 million, but I still got my joy. I might not be in a place of prominence that I'd like to be, but I still got my joy. Amen. Which I received the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye of all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am. Paul said, you know what? I warned you. I've showed you, I've taught you. Now, if anything, if you go wrong, your blood will be required at my hand. Amen? For I have not shunned to declare to you. My ultimate goal is to declare to you all the counsel of God. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Amen. That was just a preface of the fact that salvation isn't about just telling you what you want to hear, but it's more important that we tell you what's going to help you to be saved and to be right in the eyes of God. Amen. So Jeremiah chapter 7, we're going to start off with verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 7. And tonight, the warning is, it's time to set our house in order. Amen. Paul tells them to the Corinthian church, it's time for the church to judge themselves. If we judge ourselves, then God will not have to judge us. And it says, if a judgment must begin first and right now is where our judgment should be. So it's time for us to judge ourselves. Jeremiah 7 verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gates of the Lord's. Stand where? In the Lord's house. When you think about the gates of the Lord's house, when you go back to the old tabernacle, when God showed Moses the pattern of the tabernacle, how many ways did they have to get into the tabernacle? One, right? There was only one. There was only one way to get to God. There was only one way. And Jesus turned around in John 14 and said, I am. There's still only one way. Amen. In the Old Testament, there was. In the New Testament, there is. And that one way will take you to God, and that way leads to the holiest of holies. God has not, from the beginning of God dealing with his people, nothing has changed. There's still only. They only had one gate. There was only one gate. Amen. Though everyone went through that gate, there was only one way. He said, stand in the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship. Thus saith the Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, it's time to. I don't know how you've been living. He said, it's time now to change your ways. It's time to admit. Yes, you have faults and failures and things. He said, but now it's time for the change. Now, God is trying to use Jeremiah, the only one. Look at somebody say, he's the only one. And I wonder how many of us could be the only one. Lord, I can't go let somebody go with me. Jeremiah would have been in trouble. By today's standard, Jeremiah's ministry would be considered a failure. But you know what made his ministry a success and not a failure? He did exactly what God told him to do. And then the ultimate, whatever happened in the end, it was up to God. But Jeremiah's ministry was a success because he was obedient to God. And he did what God told him to do. So God says, tell them, this is before they go into Babylon. Babylonian captivity, he said, amend your ways and your, not just your ways, but what you've been doing, it's time to change that. Because you want to do what's right in whose eyes? God's eyes. He said, I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now, he said, now, if you want to stay in Jerusalem, you can't keep doing what you've been doing. You want to stay in favor with God? Now, I'm not talking to anybody, but you know, you can't keep doing what you've been. You got to amend your ways and your doings. Amen? He says, trust ye not in. Did you know what? I don't care what they say. The thing about God is this. When your life is not in tune, God lets you know. When your life is out of kilter, God lets you know. When you're not living and thinking right, God lets you know. So he said, now it's time for you to amend your ways and your doing. He said, but don't trust sin. Don't trust in those lying words. Amen. Those that are just making you feel comfortable in your sin. Those that make you feel comfortable, God said, don't trust in that. Amen. You need to amend your ways. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. He said, they say, oh, we're in God's house. I'm a representative. I'm in the temple. So what I'm saying, God said, don't you listen to that. It's time. If you know that you're wrong, you need to amend your ways. If you know you haven't been doing the right thing, amend your ways. I don't care what the televangelists and a million other people say. Wrong is wrong. And wrong is determined by God and not by man. He said, now when you listen to their wrong and you do it, you're listening to what kind of words? My words. Amen. Somebody said, well, it's all right for a man to marry a man, so we ought to be tolerant. Is that what God says? So we cannot listen to my word. Somebody said, well, you can sin, you can have a girlfriend or boyfriend and be married on the side. That is. So what God says, you know, your only flesh is wrong. You cannot be influenced by that. A lie is a lie. And guess what? You can live like that. But know that this, for all of these things, God will bring you into. So isn't it best to be pure and right before God? When you leave tonight, I don't want nobody else to check out my closet. I'm going to check out my own closet. Because I want to be saved. Amen. He said, for if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. How? Thoroughly means, you know what? Somebody said, you know, a lot of times, this is what happened in those other churches. They said, you know, I'm going to get this right. Ain't nobody going to make me change my mind here. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. If it's wrong, it's wrong. So he said, don't amend some of your ways, but amend what? All your ways that are wrong. He said, you need to amend, you need to fix. You can't continue to be wrong and think God's going to bless you. Amen? He said, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not... You know, Galatians chapter 5, I believe, says about the church. How many know that in church people have a tendency to bite and devour one another? Paul is right there. Wait a minute. The church is not supposed to bite and devour one another. Innocent blood is that poor innocent they haven't done nothing and you running them down. That's what kind of blood? Innocent blood. These 16 of the Lord hate. One of them is feet that be swift to run into. Shed innocent blood. Amen. So he's telling them, he said, listen, you want to be right with God, leave those saints alone that haven't done anything because you got an issue. Amen. You got an issue. You got a problem. So they haven't done anything to you. Why are you running them down? Ouch. But it's the truth. The church. All right, let's go. This isn't in the script. Can we go here for a minute? Y'all know I'm going to go here. Go on and go. Go ahead and go. All right, I think it's Galatians chapter 5. This is Paul in trying to straighten out the mess that was in the Galatians church. Talk about them biting and devouring one another. Amen. How many know it should not be that way in church? All right, let's go to let's start in verse 13. Amen. Our goal tonight is to try to set our house in order. All right? We want to be right before God. And God has a way. And it's a shame in church. You know, when I came to church, a lot of people always got talking about me. You know what? I had a strong back, so it didn't bother me. But everybody's not strong. Everybody can't handle that. Amen. Everybody can't handle being called an Elmer Fudd. Me and my wife, you know, y'all know about that. But I'm just saying, you got to be able to handle some stuff. But why was somebody talking about somebody in church? Hello? Church is where we come to get saved, we get healed, delivered, and set free. There's a whole lot of people that got issues. We got issues. But you're not supposed to be running each other down. Amen? He said, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for what? Don't use statue of liberty that just express your flesh. You can say and do anything. Don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in all the law is fulfilled. If you can't say anything in love, then don't say the church sometimes can be some of the most cruelest, as the preacher said last week, can be some of the cruelest, meanest people. Where? With God's Spirit? In the church? I guess I'm about to send Galatians chapter 5 to the end. Because he deals with how you ought not to act, and then he turns around and tells you how you ought to act. For against such there is no law. I know, y'all get tired of me, that's right. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Now, just think, how have you been treating your neighbor? Amen? He said, but if he what? Who is he writing this to? The world, right? He's talking about the church. He's talking about how we ought to govern ourselves. I need to set my house in order. If you bow to viper, devour one, he said, take heed that ye be not. We, I don't care how small the group is. The Bible says a little leaven will leaven. A little wrong would mess up everything. All it takes to hop in the apple to spoil the whole bunch. I had some lemons, but one lemon went bad. Man, I had to throw out almost a whole box. You know what? Because spoilage spread. Spiritual spoilage spreads. It's time for the church. Look at somebody and say, you're in the church. Even if you just sit here, you're in the church. You need to stop talking about the saints. You need to stop fighting and devouring one another. But I only know I'm going to get back to the other message on all these other scriptures that keep coming. But I'm going to stay there. And if y'all try to stone me, I can see the stone coming from a mile away. So when y'all throw the rock, I'll duck. And then I'll duck. Because we got to live right. Amen. Isn't it all about living right? Who determines right and wrong? Only God. Amen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. I'm gonna ask you, how y'all walking? No, I ain't gonna let you. No, nobody asks. How you walking? What you walking at? Amen. What you walking at? Well, in a little while, we're gonna find out what's the Spirit and what is the flesh. And he should not fulfill. If you walk in the, now that'll mean all day long you gotta walk around praying. It means you gotta have a right mind. Amen. A right mind, a spiritual mind. You cannot live carnal and ungodly and think you can walk in the Spirit. Amen. Go to the next verse. For the flesh is a battle. Right? As long as you how many know that as long as you're in this body, you're in the flesh? So it's always going to be the battle. It's always going to be a fight. That's why Paul said, I have to keep under. You know what he said? I have to keep fighting this flesh. But let's ask now. Now, a whole lot of us can preach to others. But if you don't keep under your body, Paul said, you become a castaway. Amen? And the Spirit against the flesh. They are what? So when you're in the flesh, you ain't in the Spirit. If you get in the Spirit like you ought to be, you won't be in the... Man, time just goes so fast. But I'm going to try and get through this. All right? So that you cannot do the things that ye... That's the difference between the Spirit and the flesh. The Spirit, Lord, what do you want me to do? The flesh is, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's the difference between the Spirit and the flesh. I don't like that, and I'm not gonna do it for anybody. You know what? When they asked me to be a pastor, I said, I'm not gonna do that, and I'm not gonna do it for anybody. But then this bishop said, well, what about if God wants you to do it? I said, why'd you have to say that? Mess me up. You know why? Because he said, you know, you're doing what you want to do. He said, but what about what God wants you to do? Have you ever taken a second first? So that's how I got thrust into this role. But those that have heard other things, it's how it happened. Amen. He said, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are? The works of the flesh. You don't have to guess that. They what? Manifest. They're seen. They're known. Which are these? Adultery is what? Flesh. Amen. Spiritual and natural is flesh. Fornication, which is sin outside of marriage, is flesh. Uncleanness that deal with those inordinate affections, it really is what the spirit of homosexuality is in the flesh. Come on, help me. Lasciviousness is in the flesh. Lasciviousness is when you're lusting after others or call some to lust after you the way you dress. That's in the what? In the flesh. Idolatry, which is worshiping anything other than God, is in the flesh. Witchcraft is in the flesh. Hatred is in the flesh. Thank God we all love. Don't we love everybody? Ferris is in the emulation is in the all that unnecessary jealousy. That's what that's talking about. Wrath is in the. Somebody said, I just get mad all the time. You gotta get out the flesh. That ain't the spirit. Strife. You know what strife is? There's always confusion when you confront, when you're concerned. That's in the. Can y'all say flesh? The flesh is so waning. We must be hitting some sore spots. Oh no, we're not hitting no sore spots, all right. Strife is in the. Seditions are in the. Heresies are in the. Envyings are in the. Church doing murders? Right? Murders? Amen? Somebody said, how you murder somebody? See, if you don't love God, who you do see, how do you? Right? Murder? It ain't a physical murder, it's a verbal murder. It's in the what? Flesh. We're just trying to be saved, right? If I don't tell you, then you're without excuse. But if I tell you, then it's off me and on you. Revelings, drunkenness and revelings, that says all that ungodly partying and drinking and having a good time. It's in the. Who said this? God said. And such like of which I tell, listen, of which I tell you before, and I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things. Now, if we stop right there and grade ourselves, we're trying to go to heaven, right? He said, if you do such things, you what? I know, that's kind of hard. Repeat after me, say, shall not inherit the kingdom. You can't go to heaven like that. If you got anything in that, you need to work on it. Amen. We're trying to do what? Set our house in order. Next verse. But thank God there's some fruit. And aren't y'all happy for the spirit? We don't want to know about the flesh. That flesh will mess you up every time. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? What is the first thing you know you got the Spirit? The love that you have one for. And by this shall all men you know my disciples indeed the what? Love that you have one for another. Joy. Say, wait a minute. You can't be sad all the time. You got to have some joy. And it's part of the fruit. You know what he said? Anybody have who like apples? Anybody like watermelon? Who like watermelons? Anybody like apples? All right, when you get an apple, listen, when you get an apple, right? It's in the fruit. How do you know there's seeds? There's a core in? There's peelings in? It's all in it. It ain't fruits, it's all one fruit. But it's what? All. Well, when you get the Holy Ghost, it's all in the fruit. Amen. It ain't no way in the world you want to eat an apple and think you're eating a grape. It ain't in there. It's not in the fruit. You know what? It, from the beginning of Genesis, the Bible says everything after is kind. Amen. Everything is after is so kind. So you're not going to find a blackberry in a grape bush because it's not in the fruit. Well, when you got the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, all of this came with the Holy Ghost. It's in the fruit. Peace is in the long suffering is in the. Most of us lose it right there. Long suffering. You wait till I can see such and such. I'm going to tell them how long I will suffer. Yeah, it's in the fruit. It's part of the fruit. Long suffering is, Lord, I don't know how long. I don't want to stay here. But it's in the. This brother, this sister can get on my nerves so bad. Long suffering is in the. Y'all gonna stay with me or what? We're just trying to identify the fruit of the Spirit so that we don't get in the what? Flesh. We're gonna make up some flesh cards, right? When somebody be acting up, just put up the card. No, we might make somebody act up. All right. Gentleness is in the. I had somebody tell me one time, you're just too soft. I said, and I heard my uncle once say this. He said, you know what? The world needs more soft, tender-hearted people. Yeah. I'd rather be too soft. I know what I represent. Yeah, call me what you want to. I know what I represent. I know how to change and be stern when I need to be stern. But there's nothing wrong with being gentle. Is it not? How we got the Holy Ghost? That's the fruit. So this is supposed to be in the fruit. Amen. Goodness is in the fruit. And faith is in the fruit. Meekness is in the temperance, which is self-control is in the fruit. Somebody said, well, you just don't know. I tried. You messed up because you got out the fruit, you got in the flesh. Because you're supposed to have self-control. Now, can I mess with parents? Don't mess with parents. It's still in the fruit. So if I'm a parent dealing with my child, I cannot lose my temper because it's in the. God, I confess when I was growing up, I know I had bad days. I know you don't have to tell me. That's why you said don't go to parents. I got kids. Oh, Tanya, I'm so glad she did. But you know what? I didn't stay there long. Come on, parents. You cannot lose your temper with the ones that you brought here. You should deal firmly. Because you're not their friend, you're their parent. But my God, you're not the executioner. Hello? You got to still have to. Yes, I remember when I was growing up, I made my parents angry. Y'all don't get, they don't get what we get today. Oh, we got the real weapons. We had to go get the switch, and then they had to make sure they had enough things on it so they can braid it together. And it better not break. Like, that's what we used to get, but we knew it was in love, and they only went so far, but they still had some self-control. Today, these parents, I'll be seeing, I'll talk about y'all, I'll see stuff I see on news. These parents are nuts. Some of the things they do to their own flesh and blood. We're supposed to have what? Temperance. Look at somebody and say, you gotta have self-control. Y'all look at people now, come on. All of us are parents. Even if you don't have children, you're a parent because you gotta work with somebody else's child. Children ministry, you gotta have self-control. Amen. Especially when we start getting all these new and different kids in, you got to have some self-control. Amen. It's part of the what? It's part of the fruit. We're trying to identify what causes us not to be in favor with who? God. Amen. He said, a good such that is. When you're in the spirit and in the fruit, and you walk according to God, there is God Almighty, no law. All right, let's go to, I'll finish here. I guess I have to come back. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. All we're trying to do now is identify what would cause us to lose favor with God. Amen? We don't want to lose, who wants to lose favor with God? When you lose favor with God, you lost everything. Amen. And when you lose favor with God, you can be assured of this one thing. God will find you out. Amen. So tonight, we're trying to set our house in order. Amen. And, you know, even, I just think back at some of the mistakes I made along the way. Amen. And today, I still ask God to forgive me for some of the stuff I did years ago. Because I had to learn to get out of the what? Flesh. And to walk in the spirit. Amen. We should pattern for everyone around us. That includes our husbands, our wives, our children, our neighbors, our relatives. Amen. We should never allow anything to cause us to get out of the spirit and into the flesh. Amen. Because when we get in the flesh, the Bible says they that commit such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. We'll finish here in Proverbs chapter 6. And I've been quoting this a lot, but I want you all to read it for yourselves, okay? Let's go to verse 12, okay? Actually, no, let's skip all that. Let's go down to verse 16. Let's get right to the meat of the matter. there's some other stuff. Y'all, how many of y'all have read chapter, let's see, Proverbs 6, 8? Most of y'all have read this 8 times anyway, right? Because every day of the month from January, we read one chapter of Proverbs. So this is the 8th month, so that means we read this 8 times. Right? All right, if you ain't read it 8 times, then you just hold yourself. You got to do it. All right, listen, let me help you out. All right. We start off, right? We're supposed to read one chapter each day of the month. All right. So if you're in the 8th month and you only read it 4 times, give you the benefit of the doubt, then this month you got to do it 4 times to catch up. So now you have to decide where you are because it's time to catch up. Amen. All right, we're here. These 6 things of the Lord, God what? Hates this. Amen. And yea, 7 are abomination unto who? Now we're talking about who? The Lord. We're not talking about man. We're not talking about your husband, your wife, your best friend, anybody. We're talking about what the Lord what? Hates. Amen. First of all, a. Now there's nothing wrong with you carrying yourself in a dignified way, but you ain't supposed to be proud. Hello? God hates a what? A proud look. A what? God hates what? We're trying to identify with what helps us get out of order. Proud look, a lying tongue, and what? We went over this earlier. Hands to shed. Why are you attacking that person? They haven't done anything. Why are you telling some things about somebody that's not true? That's a what? A lie. Amen? You want to help me? I told you I'm going to finish up. I'm not being nosy, but when we leave, can we please have our house in order? A heart that devises. You know what he said? Stop creating something that ain't there. Because it's in your mind, don't mean it's in. Especially when it's wicked. Because we have the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not in their mind, so don't you put it there. That's the what kind of imagination? And then, now this is, you know, when something going on in the church, your feet be running to it. Hey, did you see? Did you hear? No. You ain't supposed to be running to that. When that, did you hear? When somebody asks you, did you hear, say, I'm going the other way. Because your feet ain't supposed to be running to foolishness. We're trying to be what? Saved. Amen. Feet to be swift to run to mischief. A false witness that, if you caught them lying once, say, don't tell me anything. I don't need to know that. Amen. And he that the Lord hates, and let's go to Revelation chapter 20. We'll close here. Amen. We once again want to set. How many want to really be saved? Only one that determines true salvation is God. Amen. And like I said, a lot of you say, well, we don't like this course of study. I will not have your blood required at my hands. Amen. You're going to have to be saved and do right for yourself. Amen. So let's go to verse 10. On Sunday, I didn't go over all of this, but I think it's important to realize where if you're not walking in the flesh, I mean, if you're not walking in the spirit, you're walking in the flesh. When you walk in the flesh, this is where your influence comes from. Amen. And the devil that what? The devil that, no, you can be sitting in church and say, I don't want to hear that. Don't let the devil deceive you. Amen. Hear God's word and then get it right. Was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the yes, they're also false prophets. They were at the lake. This ain't hell. Hell is a waiting place. The lake of fire is your final destination. So those in hell are tormented because they know where they're heading. But when you're here, you are now finished and shall be tormented and shall be because they allowed themselves to be deceived by the devil. Amen. He said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found in the judgment is going to all be over. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is now according to the late evangelist Lance, the books, he said, when the books are open and God judges us out of the book, not the book of life, the books is God's word. That's the Bible. God's going to judge us out of the books. Now you're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't know. It's in the book. And we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman. And Jesus says, search the what? Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are there that testify of me. St. John 5:39. I learned that when I first got saved. That's an important scripture. Right, that was about 30-something years ago, so I didn't forget that. So you got to remember that John 5:39, and then the Bereans search the scripts daily. They see whether those, you got to know God's word. Don't let somebody else tell you and deceive you. Amen? And which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their, whatever you do, that's how God's going to judge you. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and then death and hell. Remember, hell is not the final place. Death and what? Hell. Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast. Who? Death and hell. Now, paradise is when we die in the Lord, then we go to paradise. If you die in the Lord, you go to hell, and you are in death. And death and hell gave up the grave, gave up. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is, that's the second death. We want to set our house in order because we don't want to have part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Amen. Tonight it's time for us to do an inner inspection. Paul tells the Corinthian church, examine. Tonight we're trying to examine ourselves to see if we in the faith or not. Amen. It's no longer just time to be coming to church and just being in church. But how many want to be able to say, Lord, I want to hear the Lord say, well, with my soul, right? And Jesus gives them the parable in Matthew, the 25th chapter. And he says, you know, one had a talent, and then there was a lazy person, a lazy saint that didn't want to do anything. And he said, well, Lord, the reason I didn't do anything because I knew you were a hard man. And the Lord said, well, if you knew I was hard, why didn't you at least do something with what I gave you? Why didn't you at least put it to the usury? Amen. He said, take from him that hath and get take from him that hath not and get to him that hath. God wants us all to do something. Amen. But for two, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And for that slothful servant that didn't want to do anything, he said, enter ye into everlasting damnation and fire. As we all stand tonight, if we were to examine ourselves tonight, are we walking in the flesh or in the spirit? Are we doing the things that are pleasing in the sight of God? Have we set our house in order? Don't set somebody else's house in order. Amen. Set your house in order. It's all about being saved tonight. And salvation is determined by God as the elders and all the workers come forward. God is the final judge as to whether we are saved or not. We need to examine ourselves. Amen. And you know, don't be ashamed. You're supposed to help brothers and sisters out. If you know a saint is struggling and they're doing wrong, don't go along with them. And you know, the thing is this, you don't have to correct the person, but just say, I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't want to shed no innocent blood. I don't want my feet to be swept and run into mischief. I just want to do what